Good morning.
Good morning.
How's everybody this morning? Well, your trip to church this morning had to be better today than last Sunday. Wasn't that good? It's a lot warmer outside, and it's a little bit more drier than last week. But we're so grateful that all of you are here today. And so hopefully when you came in this morning, you received the bulletin. If not, it is very important that you grab one of these, because there is some very important information about something that's going to be taking place next Sunday, and I'll talk about that in just a moment. Right after our morning worship service, we are going to be having Sunday school. This will be the last Sunday school session until after the new year, so you're going to want to be here for that, just be ready to participate. And again, we have Sunday school from children all the way up through adults. And we're all studying really something really, really good. So you need to be here for that. Wednesday, we have Joy Lunch at Smoky Mountain Pizza. And so those of you that are a part of the Joy group, put that on your calendar. Hopefully you have that on your calendar, because we decided this a couple months ago that this was going to be the plan of action. If you are available and you'd like to come and join us for lunch, we'd love to have you come. So we're going to be at Smoky Mountain Pizza, and that's on Fairview, just west of Locust Grove. So if you take Fairview and you go past Locust Grove, it'll be on your right-hand side just a little ways down the road. So it's not hard to be able to find. So we want you to come and join us for that. Thursday night, we have Awana, and it'll be our Christmas scavenger hunt. The kids are going to have a lot of fun for that. Next Sunday at 9 a.m., we are having our annual Christmas breakfast. And Jared is going to be fixing breakfast casseroles. And he has fixed these a couple times recently for the men, and they are delicious. And so you have what they're consisting of. There will also be one that is gluten-free. So if you look at that and you start to freak out, don't do that, okay, because there'll be one that is gluten-free. But we also want you to bring some food. And so there's a list there. You can bring potatoes, like hash browns mixed with bacon. You can bring fruit mixed with bacon. You can bring breads mixed. You don't need to bring bacon unless you really want to. But you get the idea. We want you to bring things. There's not a sign-up sheet, so we're trusting you to be able to bring some food to go along with the casseroles. Now, we want to eat promptly at 9 a.m. So you and your food need to be here and needs to be ready to be put on the table at 9 a.m. Do y'all got that? Say it with me, 9 a.m. Very good. All right. Okay. Because we only have a very limited time to be able to eat and then to be able to get things ready for our worship service at 10 a.m. And so also after our worship service next Sunday morning, we are going to be having our church family meeting. And so the deacons have been, for the last few months, have been, the deacons and elders, the leadership team have been working together on the 2023 budget, believe it or not. It's almost 2023. Wow. Okay. And so they've put the budget together. We want to bring that to your attention. We want you to affirm the work that they have done. And so we will be meeting after the morning service next week. Don't forget, our Daily Bread devotional books are out there. The Christmas Reflections put out by Daily Bread are out there. So lots of things going on. So if you have any questions, see me, and I'll try to answer your questions for you. If I can't answer it, I'll send you to a different person, and maybe they'll be able to answer it for you as well. All right? If you don't have a bulletin, please, please, please make sure that you get one. Well, are you glad that you're here this morning?
Birthday.
How many of you are glad you're here? How many of you wish you were somewhere else? Good.
Birthday.
Great answer. All right. Okay. What?
We have a birthday today.
We have a birthday today?
Mm-hmm. And she looked at me and she was like, don't do it, Jared.
We
don't do it.
Do have a birthday. Amy, come on up here. Please. Come on, Amy. There's certain people I can do this for, and there's other people that I can't. She's one of them I can.
Claire's birthday is tomorrow.
All right. Come on up here, Claire. Come on up here, Claire. All right, so we'll sing happy birthday to Amy and to Claire.
All right.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, Amy and Claire.
All right, as you see them, make sure that you tell them happy birthday. All right, you ready to sing some other songs other than happy birthday?
Yes.
Let's get with it.
Would you all stand with me? We're going to sing some Christmas carols because it's that time of year. And I retract my fuddy-duddy statement from last week. As you sing these songs with me, as you sing Hark the Herald, Angels Sing, as you sing Joy to the World, as you sing the rest of these songs, imagine you're back in the first century. You've been waiting for an answer from God, and the Messiah is born. Hark the Herald, Angels Sing, glory to the newborn King. On earth and mercy mild, God and sinners reconciled. Joyful all ye nations rise, join the triumph of the skies. With angelic hosts proclaim, Christ is born in Bethlehem. Hark the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King. Christ by highest heaven adored, Christ the everlasting Lord. Late in time, behold him come, offspring of the virgin's womb. Veiled in flesh, a God at sea, hail incarnate deity. Pleased as man with man to dwell, Jesus our Emmanuel. Hark the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King. Hail the heaven-born Prince of Peace, hail the Son of Righteousness. Light and life to all he brings, risen with healing in his wings. Mild he lays his glory by, born that man no more may die. Born to raise the sons of earth, born to give them second birth. Hark the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King. Hark the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King. Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let earth receive. Sing, and heaven and nature sing, and heaven and nature sing. Joy to the earth, the Savior reigns. Let men their songs employ, while fields and floods, rocks, hills and plains repeat the sounding joy. Repeat the sounding joy, repeat, repeat the sounding joy. No more let sins and sorrows grow, nor thorns infest the ground. He comes to make his blessings flow, far as the curse is found, far as the curse is found, far as the curse is found. He rules the world with truth and grace, and makes the nations fruit. The glories of his righteousness, and wonders of his love, and wonders of his love, and wonders, wonders of his love, and wonders, wonders of his love. Go ahead and be seated as we continue this morning. Thank you. Our Lord and our Savior was born
and he was born for us. What an amazing God we serve. Amen.
Away in a manger, no crib for a bed, the little Lord Jesus laid down his sweet head. The stars in the sky looked down where he lay, the little Lord Jesus asleep on the hay. The cattle are lowing, the baby awakes, but little Lord Jesus no crying he makes. Love thee, Lord Jesus, look down from the sky and say by my cradle till morning is nigh. Be near me, Lord Jesus, I ask thee to stay close by me forever and love me, I pray. Bless all the dear children in thy tender care, and bid us for heaven to live with thee there. Silent night, holy night, all is calm, all is bright, round yon virgin mother and child, holy infant so tender and mild, sleep in heavenly peace, sleep in heavenly peace. Silent night, holy night, shepherds quake at the sight, glory stream from heaven afar, heavenly hosts sing alleluia, Christ the Savior is born, Christ the Savior is born. Silent night, holy night, Son of God, love's pure light, radiant beams from thy holy face, with the dawn of redeeming grace, Jesus, Lord, at thy birth, Jesus, Lord, at thy birth. Silent night, holy night, wondrous star, lend thy light, with the angels let us sing alleluia to our King. Christ the Savior is born, Christ the Savior is born.
As our ushers prepare to take this morning's offering, I hope you'll take a moment and consider how amazing Jesus is. How amazing it is that he came and put on flesh, dwelt among us, Emmanuel, God with us. and he died for you on the cross. He is glorious. Lord, would you take what we have to give, our simple songs, our hearts and attitudes of worship, Lord, would you take that and would you use it for your glory? Lord, would you take the gifts and offerings that we have to give? They may not be gold and frankincense and myrrh, but it's what we have to give you, Lord. We love you, and so we do it for you. Lord, would you take those things, build your kingdom, bless the world because of us. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Oh, holy night, the stars are brightly shining. It is the night of the dear Savior's birth. Long lay the world in sin and error pining, till he appeared and the soul felt its worth. A thrill of hope the weary world rejoices, for yonder breaks a new and glorious morn.
Somebody was to ask you, what is the meaning of Christmas? And I don't want a long theological explanation. Just tell me simply, what is the meaning of Christmas? Well, one of the hymns that we sang this morning tells us that. It's God's redeeming grace. Because Jesus came to this earth that we could find God's redemption. And by believing in him as Savior, God has gifted us that redemption. Doesn't get any more difficult than that. Doesn't get any more complicated than that. I know we're the ones who make it what? Harder than it really is. God made it simple so that we would be able to understand it, so that we would be able to receive it, so that we would be able to appreciate it. Isn't that good? Isn't that great? All right, children, come on down. We'll get you ready for Children's Church. Y'all doing well? Uh-huh. All right, good. All right, let's pray. Father, we're just so grateful to be able to be here this morning. Thank you for these beautiful Christmas hymns that you allowed us to be able to sing. And Father, may we sang them from the depths of our hearts. Father, may Christmas not be something that we experience. May Christmas be something that we live. And not just during the winter, but Father, every day, every moment of every day. Father, may we enjoy and appreciate what Christmas is all about. Your redeeming grace. Father, I pray that as we hear your word, Father, that you will just allow that to be able to be what it is that we carry away with us this morning. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. While they're being dismissed, turn back in your Bibles to Isaiah. We were in Isaiah last week. We're going to be in Isaiah again today. So I don't know how about you, but as I've been out and about and I've been in some of the stores, I've seen some Christmas signs, not the decorations in the trees and the sales and all of that, but I've seen some actual signs that talk about Christmas. One of the signs said, "Dear Santa, I've been good all year." Okay, most of the time. Okay, once in a while. Just forget it. I'll buy my own stuff. Another one said, "Christmas calories don't count." I like that, right? Because, man, do we eat lots of what goodies during Christmas time. And I'm not saying that's wrong, but I'm glad that Christmas calories don't count. At least this one doesn't. I like this one. "Friends don't give friends fruitcake." And then I like this one, too. "To anyone who is Christmas shopping for me, I wear a size 100 in dollar bills." You know, some of these signs reflect what people's thoughts about Christmas are all about. That's what they've come to have Christmas mean to them. But the book of Isaiah, as we talked about last week, and we're going to talk a little bit more about today, the book of Isaiah is filled with many prophecies about the birth and the substitutionary work of Jesus on the cross. In fact, as I was preparing for this message, it came to my attention as I was doing some studying and some reading that the book of Isaiah is called the fifth gospel because it contains so much good news, and it is quoted more often in the New Testament than any other book of the Bible except for Psalms. Now, if you watch Jeopardy on a regular basis, about a month or so ago, this was a Jeopardy question. Which book of the Old Testament is quoted the most in the New Testament? And the answer was the Psalms, but Isaiah runs a very close second. As we talked about last week, Isaiah ministered in Israel during a really difficult time. Terrorists from Assyria were attacking and killing people. Fear gripped everyone. And Isaiah was told by God that something better was coming. Even though his culture was corrupt and everything around him seemed so dark. Seems kind of similar to this time in history, doesn't it? In Isaiah chapter 6, we read of Isaiah's calling as a prophet when he comes face to face with the holiness of God. And from chapter 6 to chapter 7, which is where we're going to be this morning, about 20 years have gone by. And here in chapter 7, we see one of God's most remarkable Christmas signs. And God sends a sign that is hard to comprehend and is biologically impossible. God's sign would come to fulfillment 700 years after it is given to Isaiah. And God gives a miraculous sign through the prophet of Isaiah. What is that sign? Well, hopefully you found Isaiah chapter 7. Let's look at verse 14. "Therefore, The Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. Now, I want us to spend just a few moments breaking down this verse phrase by phrase, maybe even word by word. The first word that we see here in this sign that God had given to the prophet Israel is the word therefore. And remember when Jeremy Larson was with us, he would say, whenever we see the word therefore, we need to what? Stop and see what it's there for. And so we need to take note, because this word is often used by the prophets to introduce a proclamation by God. Therefore, it's an attention getter. And then the Lord himself. This is the name Adonai, which describes God's sovereignty. And the pronoun himself helps us to see that this sign comes from him and that he will bring it about just as he said that he would. The next phrase is, we'll give you. The word you here is interesting. It's in the plural tense, showing us that God's desire is for everyone to respond to the gift he will give. Now, it's interesting to be able to see little kids and big kids, not necessarily by age, when they see presents around a Christmas tree. They always wonder, what's inside that Christmas present, right? And who's that Christmas present for? Is it for me or is it for someone else? And I remember some Christmases as I was growing up, man, the Christmas presents would pile up underneath the Christmas tree. And I remember some Christmases where there was very little underneath the Christmas tree. But yet, each one of those, whether there was an abundance or whether there was a little, each one of those brought about what? A response. God has given the world the best Christmas present ever, his redeeming grace through his son, Jesus Christ. And he expects all of us to be able to respond to the gift that he gives. He gave the sign, and he says that he's expecting the world to respond to the gift he will give. Fortunately, there are some that have responded by believing in Jesus as Savior, by coming to appreciate and to enjoy God's redeeming grace. There are others, not so much. They ignore it. They neglect it. They don't want to hear it. They don't want to do anything with it. We'll give you a sign. Now, the word sign is used 183 times in the Bible to indicate an event or a miracle. A sign often brought a message of wonder. A sign is most often used to describe all inspiring events and is designed to communicate certainty. When used in the plural, signs are often combined with wonders, as in the book of Acts, to represent the amazing works of God or to demonstrate his powerful presence among people. The Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold. The word behold is used to get our attention, just like the word therefore. And it indicates the importance of what is about to be said. The word behold could be translated as, look, now. What God is about to do is intended to be surprising. And when used by Isaiah, behold is always related to something that is going to take place in the future. The Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold the virgin. This statement means it's a specific woman who is a virgin. The word for virgin was used of a young, never married woman. God already had in mind one specific young woman, a virgin named Mary, whom he had chosen to become pregnant by his Holy Spirit. When is this going to take place? 700 years after God gives this to the prophet Isaiah. The Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive. This was no ordinary pregnancy and no ordinary birth. The word for virgin, a virgin with child would certainly stand out as a miraculous sign, wouldn't you say? In some classic works of art, it's interesting that Mary is often portrayed reading Isaiah 7:14 when Gabriel arrives to announce this miraculous conception. The Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son. Now, it's important to mention that this was an unplanned pregnancy for Mary. But Mary's unplanned pregnancy was God's planned pregnancy, planned a long time before it ever came to be fulfilled. Mary chose life because God is the one who put that little life in her womb, as he still does yet today. The Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel. The name Emmanuel means the strong God with us. And when you read this in the Hebrew, the word order is a bit unusual. It is stated, with us is God. I like that. With us is God. God came to be with us in the form of a son, delivered by a virgin named Mary, conceived by God's Holy Spirit. One Bible commentator writes, if you have a problem with a virgin conceiving and bearing a child, that should be nothing in comparison to the thought of Emmanuel, God with us. In the flesh. This is nothing short of a miracle. That's why the sermon this morning is titled, It's a Miracle. Someone else has said it's extremely difficult to make the terminology of the virgin birth refer to something other than the virgin birth. And I would change extremely difficult to impossible. It is impossible to make the terminology of the virgin birth refer to something other than the virgin birth. But there are churches here in our Treasure Valley who want to make the virgin birth something that God never intended for it to be able to be. They explain it away, or they don't even give it any credence. They don't even teach it. They don't even bother to be able to let the people who are a part of their belief system be able to know what it means and why it means so much. The reason why it means so much is this tells us that Jesus had two natures, human and divine. As human, he is able to experience all that we experience. And as God, he gives us what we need the most, eternal salvation. I'm going to explain that a little bit more here in just a moment. And this is made clear in the announcement of the angel to Joseph that's recorded for us in Matthew chapter 1, verse 21. She will bear a son, who? That virgin named Mary. Who the baby that she's going to be carrying is conceived by the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. He's a son who saves. Now, this is also important for a couple reasons. Jesus is fully human because he came from Mary's womb. It was necessary for the Savior to be born of a woman so that he would be of the same nature as those he came to save. And Jesus is fully God, because he was conceived by the Holy Spirit. It was imperative that he be holy, sinless, and blameless so that he could be the spotless sacrificial lamb of God. No human can redeem sinners from their sins. No spiritual leader can take away your sin. No human leader can exempt you from the condemnation of sin, from the consequence of sin, and someday from the very presence of sin. Only Jesus could do that. Why? Because he is Emmanuel. God came to be with us so that he could be that blameless, sinless, holy, sacrificial Savior on our behalf. Each of these requirements are fulfilled in the person of Jesus. He's fully man, yet fully God. He is the God-man, one person possessing two natures. And John chapter 1 tells us this pretty clearly. Look at verse 14. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. The Word is capitalized there, which means it represents a person, not a concept, not an ideology, not a story, not a myth. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. God is with us. And we have seen his glory. Glory is of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. What is Christmas all about? God's redeeming grace. Because Jesus came to be with us. The immortal, invisible, holy God is Emmanuel, God with us. Now, why does this matter? Why should we give this any credence? Why should we spend time talking about this? Why should we go over this? Because God's Word tells us that we of human beings have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. We've all sinned. Romans chapter 3 says there is none righteous, no, not one. Does that mean you? Yep. Does that mean me? Yep. Now, I know what you're thinking. Wait a minute. You're the pastor. You mean you're a sinner? Yep, just like you. The same things that you are tempted with, I'm tempted with. The same things that sometimes you fall into that God considers to be sin, I fall into those same things. I'm not exempt just because I have a title called pastor. Just because I'm one of the elders here at Lake Hazel Bible Church doesn't exempt me. Doesn't exempt any of our leadership team. And they're the first ones to admit that, you know what? They're just as sinful as anybody else. So God's word tells us that we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. It also teaches us that the wages of sin is death, and sin had to be paid for. So throughout Old Testament times, God's people were taught that a flawless sacrifice was needed to cover the payment that God required for their sins. The law called for repeated animal sacrifices. But everyone knew that the blood of those animals didn't really fix the problem of sin. What was needed was a perfect someone who would be willingly and lovingly ready to die for our sins. But no human being could be found that was sinless. Sinless enough to die in your place, my place, the place of all of mankind. Only God could be perfect, sinless, and pure enough to be that perfect and complete sacrifice. And he came to be with us so that he could be that perfect sacrifice. By way of the virgin birth, you got to get this, by way of the virgin birth, Jesus entered into the world without the sin of Adam. Because he is born of Mary, he is truly human. Because he is conceived by the Holy Spirit, he is free from that inherited sin passed down from Adam. Sin that had been inherited by you, by me, by every human being. So he is fully able, Jesus is fully able to take our place, to pay what we owed for our debt of sin. And Jesus could pay for our sins completely because he had no guilt or shame of his own. Because you see, he paid for our sins completely. Because you couldn't. and I couldn't, and neither can anyone else. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 21, you've heard me use this verse before, and you've heard me tell you that if you don't know any other verse in God's word other than this one, you need to know this one. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 21 says, "For our sake he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God." Let me read it another way. For our sake. Why? Because we were sinners. We are sinners. And there's nothing we could do to pay for the debt of sin that we owed. So for our sake, God made Jesus to be sin who knew no sin. He didn't have Adam's inherited sin because he was born of a virgin, because he was conceived by the Holy Spirit. So that in Jesus we might become the righteousness of God. How does that happen? When we believe in Jesus as Savior. The moment that we believe in Jesus as Savior, we have God's righteousness imparted to us. Now this should move us to praise and worship. Man, we all should have shouted amen. Amen? Now, there you go. Okay. But this should move us to praise and worship. The truth that the Creator God entered the womb of a virgin to become like us so that he could save us from our sins. Isn't that what the angel told Joseph? Emmanuel is coming. Jesus is coming because he's going to save people from their sins. He was just like us, and yet he was nothing like us. He walked among us, and yet he came from God above, God with us. He grew up in Nazareth, and yet the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. He is our friend, and yet he is our Savior and guide. Little children love him, and yet he baffles the greatest minds. He was called the Son of Mary, and yet he's the Son of God. Now, each of the events of this first Christmas came to pass exactly as they were prophesied by the prophets, Isaiah being one of them. And listen to how many times in Matthew chapter 2 mentions the fulfillment of prophecy. Matthew chapter 2, verse 5. "In Bethlehem of Judea, so it was written by the prophet." Verse 15. "This was to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet, 'Out of Egypt I called my son.'" Verse 17. "Then was fulfilled what was spoken by the prophet Jeremiah." Verse 23. "And he went and lived in a city called Nazareth, so that what was spoken by the prophets might be fulfilled, that he may be called a Nazarene." Do you get it? 700 years before Jesus was ever born in Bethlehem, it was prophesied that he was going to come. That God was going to come to be with us in the person of his son, Jesus. Why? To be the Savior that you and I and the world needed. Let's also listen to Matthew chapter 1, verse 23, where we see the 700-year-old prophecy from Isaiah 7:14 quoted, "Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel," which means God with us. You see, we have more than a sign of God's presence. We have the Son, the Savior present with us in all of his fullness. You see, God's Son came as an infant. He came as infant Jesus so that he could become Jesus the Savior from sin to all who believe in him. And at the stable in Bethlehem, we see that God is with us. And at the cross on Golgotha, we see that God is for us. Let me remind you of that again. At the stable in Bethlehem, we see that God is with us. And at the cross on Golgotha, we see that God is for us. So let's make this personal. God is with you and God is for you. Romans chapter 5 and verse 8 says, "But God demonstrates his love to us, and that while we were still sinners, Jesus died for us." God is with you and God is for you. So what do I want you to take away with you this morning? I want you to take away that it was a miracle that Jesus took on human flesh. It is a miracle that Jesus came to bring eternal salvation to all who believe in him as Savior. And Christmas is nothing more than us remembering and celebrating and appreciating God's redeeming grace brought to us by Jesus, our Savior. Father, may this be the Christmas where we truly understand the miracle that Christmas is. Father, there's a lot of things about Christmas that are really nice. There's a lot of things about Christmas that are really special. There's a lot of things about Christmas that are given to us to be able to enjoy. But Father, help us this Christmas to be able to understand that very first Christmas was a miracle. Everything surrounding it was of the miraculous. And you did that for us. You came to be with us because you knew we didn't need just a holiday. We just didn't need a reason to be able to decorate and a reason to be able to congregate and a reason for us to be able to distribute presents and gifts. You came because we needed a Savior. We came to be able to understand, accept, and appreciate your redeeming grace. Father, may we get it this Christmas. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Would you stand for our final song?
Go tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born. While shepherds kept their watching, or silent flocks by night, behold, throughout the heavens, there shone a holy light. Go tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born. The shepherds fear and tremble when low above the earth rang out the angel chorus that hailed our Savior's birth. Go tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born. Down in a lowly manger, the humble Christ was born. And God sent us salvation that blessed Christmas morn. Go tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born. Go tell it. Oh, go tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born. That Jesus Christ is born. That Jesus Christ is born.